Our first lesson for this sixth Sunday after Easter is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 10. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching gospel, news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him, and we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day, made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him, and he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to justify that he is the one appointed by God to judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptism? These people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Christ Jesus. Then they asked him to remain for some days. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is taken from 1 John. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whomever he has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the first lesson from Acts chapter 10. This is one of Peter's early sermons, and it's preached to a very eager congregation. And it's also a sermon that is abruptly interrupted. The Church commentary writer Charles Spurgeon wrote about this, "Oh, that our sermons were incomplete for the same cause that Peter's was. For the Holy Spirit, who speaks better by himself than by the most earnest voice, caused a joyful, divinely interruption. Surely a sermon produced under such circumstances, leading up to such results, and interrupted so divinely, deserves to be reverently studied." When they come up with a lectionary series, they, you know, of course, have to choose just certain verses, and they end up then, by definition, cutting out, you know, what happens beforehand and what happens afterwards. But what happens beforehand really needed to be included to understand what Peter, or why Peter, is talking like the way he is. There is a Roman centurion by the name of Cornelius, who at this point in the story is about 30 miles away from Peter. Now, you couldn't talk about two different individuals. Peter, a fisherman, a Jew. Cornelius, a Roman centurion, a pagan by religion. They each got to get over their differences in order to share, have the gospel shared between them. Peter's got to let go of a lot of prejudices. Because at this time, there was a discussion amongst the Jewish Christians whether or not you had to become Jewish first, be circumcised, and obey the ceremonial laws, then you could become Christian. God had made it very clear to Peter in a vision that all the dietary laws were gone now. You were free to eat what you wanted. So bacon was now on the menu. See, I think that's why they were so uptight in the Old Testament. They didn't have bacon. I think that was their big problem, but that's just my own interpretation that has absolutely no value at all. Peter is told to go to the house of Cornelius. And Cornelius shows his eagerness with the words, "Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." Peter begins his sermon with the words, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in any nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." That is why Peter starts off with the words, "Now I understand that God shows no partiality." In other words, there was no difference between the Jewish Christians and the soon-to-be Gentile Christians as well. Peter's attitude has now changed. Now he's ready to preach a true grace gospel message. And this is a big deal that Peter is now ready to preach to specifically to a group of Gentiles. See, the Jews had believed that they were God's favorites. They had forgotten verses like Genesis 12:3, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Paul would write in Romans chapter 2, verse 11, For God shows no partiality." And in Luke 20, verse 21, the Jews say of Jesus, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach rightly and show no partiality." God is drawn, let's say, to those who show him reverence. When Solomon finished writing the book of Ecclesiastes, he finishes it with these words, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." The good news of Jesus Christ started amongst the Jews and then would spread to the Gentiles. Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles." There's some lessons that we can learn from Cornelius. Cornelius could say, "I'm sincere in what I believe." Have you ever heard people say that? "I'm not very religious, but I'm sincere in what I believe." So Cornelius was sincere, but he was not saved. "I'm working at doing good works. At least I'm trying hard." Doesn't that count for something? Well, Cornelius had been trying hard, but it counted him nothing. Or, "I'm trying to clean up my life." I always love that one. "I'm trying to clean up my life." The only one who can clean up a life is God. Peter's sermon has some important lessons. The gospel alone is the only thing that can bring peace. Romans 5:10 tells us that we are enemies of God and are at war with Him. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, Paul's writing to the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. We're at peace with God once we acknowledge that He is Lord of all. Verse 36 says in our text, He is Lord of all. 1 Timothy 6:15, that He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And from Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Part of being a Christian is absorbing all that Jesus taught and did. Verses 37 and 39 of our text says, you yourselves know what happened throughout Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Peter is telling Cornelius and his friends, his Gentile friends, you know enough about Jesus. You know the story. Now believe in who Jesus said he was, that he is the Christ, the Messiah, that he is the anointed one, that Jesus fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies. If you count up all the Old Testament prophecies, there's about 1,000 of them that tell us something about who Jesus is and what he was going to do, and that he fulfilled all about 1,000 of them. That Jesus went about doing good and healing. There's a song. The title of the song is Chain Breaker by Zach Williams. And I'm just going to read it. It'd probably be a lot better if I had the rhythm to it, but you all know that story. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. You'd think a boy from Detroit would have rhythm, wouldn't you? I mean, it's come on, it's Motown. It should be in our genes. What happened, Dad, to our musical ability in this family? And he's not even going to acknowledge that. When we want to know who Jesus is, we need to read about him. In other words, we got to spend time in the Word. The gospel message that Peter is sharing with Cornelius is that Jesus hung upon a cross for us. Peter says they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. Peter's referencing a passage out of Deuteronomy chapter 21 that says, and if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, he is to be put to death, and you hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him in the same day, for a hanged man is cursed by God. If that doesn't tell exactly what was going to happen to Jesus, I don't know what does. Galatians 5:13, Paul writes, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged upon a tree. Part of the gospel message that Peter shared with Cornelius was that Jesus had been raised from the dead. That all of his claims of being Messiah was validated when he rose from the dead. In verses 40 to 41, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. The reality of the resurrection, the fact that the resurrection is true, forms a foundation for the entire book of Acts. No less than 24 times the resurrection is referenced in just the one book of Acts. We also read that 500 witnesses saw Jesus after the resurrection. Peter was preaching to Cornelius about judgment. And some churches, by the way, have stopped talking about judgment. That God is all love and God is all grace. We don't need to talk about judgment. Well, Peter has to say, and he commanded us to preach to people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Because of sins, we deserved death. 1 Peter 4:5 says, then everyone will have to appear before the judge, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And from 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. By faith, we have the forgiveness of sins. But you have to know you need saving before you can be saved. You know, you can't get cancer treatment until the doctor tells you what? You got cancer. If the doctor tells you, you know, what's wrong with you, well, your stomach's upset. You're not going to get the treatment you need. So until we realize that we are in need of forgiveness, we cannot receive what we need most. See, our biggest need is the forgiveness of sins. Peter put some very practical, there's some very practical lessons we can learn from Peter's preaching. That the Holy Spirit is the seal upon our salvation. You know, I mentioned in the beginning of the sermon how this sermon was interrupted. And while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. Cornelius and all of the people gathered with him believed the gospel message at that point. And the Jews were surprised to see that the Holy Spirit had fallen upon Gentiles. Peter would later use this event when he went to Jerusalem to the Council of Jerusalem, where James, the brother of Jesus, was presiding over the council. Where, and then the big issue they were trying to determine was this, that question, do you have to be a Jew first, circumcised and follow the ceremonial laws before you can become a Christian? Peter uses this event from Cornelius to make his argument. And part of Peter's argument is this in Acts chapter 15. And after there's been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days, God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them and giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. This lesson's more about than just the Gentiles are included. But I will continue with Romans 3, verses 29 to 30. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is the one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith also. The biggest point to take out of this text from Acts chapter 10 is by grace we all have access to him. We don't have to meet a certain standard first before God will accept us. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for in one spirit we are all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Right at the end of the lesson from Acts chapter 10, as I was writing this sermon, I almost glossed over the words, and then they asked him to remain for a few days. And I almost glossed right over that, like that was just something added to the tail end. Why would they want Peter to remain for a few more days? They wanted to learn more about who Jesus was. We gather together every week. Some of us, several times a week, to study his word. Learning of who Jesus is not a one-time deal. And next Sunday when we have when we have confirmation, I'm going to stress to the kids that their education doesn't end. You know, I'm confirmed. Woohoo! I got it made. I don't have to attend church. I don't have to read anymore. I don't have to pay attention at all. Nah, I'm just doing that for fun. Derek was an absolute joy to have. But I'll say nicer things about him next week. And the rest. But we gather together on a weekly basis to learn about who Jesus is. Because we're thankful that he doesn't have us reach a certain level of perfection first before he accepts us. He accepts us on wherever we are, on that sanctification, that holy living scale. Because there is no scale. We love the Lord and we follow what he says. Why? So we remain in a constant relationship with the one who heals our greatest need. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.